Welcome to the A-Game Podcast with Nick LaMagna, digging into the minds and experiences of some of today's brightest entrepreneurs in real estate and business, along with Hollywood stars, UFC fighters, and your favorite rock bands. People that have figured out how to overcome obstacles, take chances, live boldly, and no matter what they do, they always bring their A-Game.
All right, my guest today on the A-Game Podcast is Jason Hartman. Jason Hartman is one of my bucket list guests. I was so excited to have him on. Shout out to Matt Andrews for hooking it up, but I have a lot of smart people on this podcast. This guy blows me away with all the stuff he puts out on his YouTube, on his multiple podcasts, but just all the opinions that are out there. I've become a data nerd. And when you become a data nerd, you look at the facts. And this guy has so many facts that he's gone on for 20 years. You'll hear him cite stuff back for 5,000 years. It's pretty incredible. But if you're worried about what's happening in the real estate market, when should you buy? Should you wait? Is now a good time to buy? Our market's going to change. Your interest rate's going to come down. Should you buy now? Should you buy later? Like, trying to time the market. All your questions will be answered during this podcast of when the right time is to buy, what's going to happen with prices, what's going to happen with competition. So I am trying to inspire people and give you the comfort as an ordinary person to go out there and do extraordinary things like the hundreds of people I've interviewed on this podcast every single day, just like this gentleman, Jason Hartman. So if you're looking to do something spectacular in 2024, 2025, and you just don't have the confidence, this podcast will give you the confidence to make sure you're making the right moves based on the data. And Jason Hartman is the best person out there to give you that data. So check the show notes for all the ways to connect with him, especially if you're interested in going on his Ultimate Investor's Voyage. You can master money on the high seas, and that is coming soon to a sea near you. Jump on the link in the podcast notes to find all the ways to connect with that, connect with him. If you're looking to invest in multiple properties across the country and find somebody who actually understands what's happening with those markets, what's happening with those properties, and what's happening with the economy to find the best and most safe investment for you, Jason Hartman is the guy for you to go do that with. So connect with him on that. Check out his multiple podcasts, including his Creative Wealth Real Estate podcast, available everywhere. Like we said, it's got over 2,000 episodes in 189 countries. This guy is just amazing. I cannot say enough stuff, and you will see why when you listen to this podcast. So check the show notes, and the way we continue to get great guests like Jason Hartman to come on here and drop amazing knowledge for you guys is by you paying the fee of just please subscribing to the podcast. It is available everywhere you watch and listen. NickNickNick.com/links, LINKS. For all the ways to connect, whether you watch or listen, please just take a second and subscribe. And of course, follow us on social media. You will see all the ways to connect with us at NickNickNick.com/links as well. Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all that fun stuff. We are on all of that. Please engage. I'm going to be posting clips from this episode. The way Jason knows he bought you guys value is by you interacting with the clips. So please follow us. We'll follow you back. You're scrolling all day on social media anyway. The best way to get us out there and we can connect together is for you to please interact with us, and we will do the same. And again, the whole thing here is I want to do real estate together. So whether you're looking to buy properties, sell properties, or partner up on some level you're not even really sure how, let's start that conversation. Shoot me a text message at 516-540-5733 with the words real estate to start the conversation of whether you want to buy, sell, or partner on a deal. And of course, if you're looking for a way to get a checklist for more value to your buyers as a real estate broker or wholesaler, go to NickNickNick.com/biggerpockets. So looking to connect with you guys in many ways, shapes, or forms. I am so thankful Jason Hartman came on. You guys are going to love this episode. Thank you so much. Check him out. Check out his crews, A-Game Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Have a fantastic day. All right, my guest today is a German-born investor and entrepreneur. I believe now fighting out of Florida, if I'm correct, who's been involved in several thousand real estate transactions, has owned income properties in over 11 states and 17 cities. He has a reputation for being one of the best sources of actual data for investors and real estate professionals in the game today. He went from a traditional real estate, then selling it off his brokerage to Coldwell Banker and putting his full-time focus into real estate investing, not only for himself, but is putting together a plan to help people just like you achieve the American dream of financial freedom by purchasing income properties in markets nationwide. He is the host of many podcasts, including his crown jewel, Creating Wealth Real Estate Investing, his publishing over 2,000 episodes, and being downloaded in an astounding 189 countries and counting. He offers a sanity check and comfort in an uncertain market climate through podcasts, educational events, referrals, mentoring, and even has his Ultimate Investor's Voyage coming soon. to the high seas near you. A brilliant mind, a dog lover, a financial and economic GPS. One of my bucket list guests. Thank you so much for coming on. Welcome to the A-Game Podcast, Mr. Jason Hartman.
Hey, Nick, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Man, I am really impressed with you. From the first time I saw you at Family Mastermind and I listened to you on stage, it was one of the most refreshing things just to see all these people that you see on these podcasts and on the YouTube and all over just giving their opinions on stuff and all these quote-unquote experts. And just to watch you break down the data and then back it up with all the stuff you've seen, because people are making predictions and they've only been in real estate for 3 or 4 years. Yeah. And then we got a guy like you who has data that I believe dated back. He had things over back to 5,000 years ago. So talk
well,
a little bit about
that. Well, in a way,
that.
Yeah, we'll explain that one.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, I really try to take a very data-driven approach. Like you mentioned, I was in the traditional real estate business before this. I sold my company to Coldwell Banker about 20 years ago. And ever since then, my business has been helping investors buy properties nationwide. And, you know, I have just seen over and over, Nick, people fall for the doom and gloomers, the fear porn. You know, that's what sells. That's what our mind hones in on, you know, and all over YouTube, you see these clickbait titles and clickbait thumbnails on these videos that talk about the collapse and all this stuff. But the fact is, these people are virtually always wrong. And, you know, this has been going on for a minimum of 250 years. There was an economist named Malthus, and there's a whole school of economics named after him, Malthusian economics, where he thought that society would collapse and there would be mass famine because of overpopulation. Now, can you imagine thinking that 250 years ago? And people have thought that, you know, in the 60s, they were talking about that. In the 70s, they were talking about that. They were talking about peak oil in the 70s. We got more oil than ever. The world is swimming in oil, right? You know, so what a lot of these people don't take into account is that the market and the people react to all their circumstances and they fix them. They discover workarounds. You know, if you think about just oil, right? I mean, in the 70s, they thought the world was going to go dark. Well, really, in the 1800s, they thought the world was going to go dark because they were about to run out of whale blubber. Okay. So, you know, it's like nobody counts on human innovation, you know, and the way people are so clever and so smart and how people are not the problem. People are the resource. They're the best natural resource we've got as people, okay? And they solve these problems. So when it comes to the real estate market, you know, the doomers tend to sort of think in these like myopic linear ways. And, you know, a lot of them are people that are really just upset with themselves because they didn't have the confidence. They didn't have the courage. They're weak people, okay? That didn't have the courage and the confidence to make an investment decision years ago that would have changed their life and it would have made them rich, okay? And I'll give you an example from, you know, like on a personal level, and probably a lot of your listeners can relate to this because I have personally been this guy, okay? You know, I'm out in the world, out, you know, we're out in public and you see a pretty girl and you don't go up and talk to her, right? And so then the way we work as humans, we start to rationalize because she got away, right? Oh, she wasn't that great anyway. You know, she was probably messed up. She was probably this or that, you know, and we make up like all these reasons, right? But the reality is that when you look at income property, it's the most historically proven asset class in the entire world. It's got the longest track record of success in the entire world. It's a multidimensional asset class, and it is the best thing going, okay? It just works year in and year out because we don't depend on the simplistic way to make money, you know, and there are many one-dimensional assets out there, non-dividend paying stocks, precious metals, cryptocurrencies. And listen, I invest in all these things, okay? I don't just invest in real estate, but real estate is definitely my favorite. But the whole story with those one-dimensional asset classes is this: buy low, sell high. End of discussion. That's the whole strategy, okay? Now, I know you can do some creative things with cryptocurrency. I'm well versed in that. And you can have dividend paying stocks, for example. So there, the strategy is two-dimensional. Buy low, sell high, get some dividends or some cash flow in between, right? With crypto, you can like loan it out. But a lot of people have been totally burned by that, okay? And, you know, we know the stories of FTX and all the rest, right? You know, income property has so many dimensions. There are so many different ways we make money from it, right? Even if prices are going down, as long as we're not selling, who cares, right? We haven't done a liquidation event. So we're getting cash flow. We're getting tax benefits. We're getting mortgage pay down. And most importantly, we're getting a term that I've trademarked because it's a strategy that I've really, really taught so many people over the last 20 years is called inflation-induced debt destruction. And this is the most powerful hidden wealth creator of them all. And it works in income property because of this. Think about it. You buy an income property and you get a mortgage on it. And when you get that mortgage, the money is lent to you at the value of today's dollars. But over time, Nick, you're paying it back in the value of tomorrow's dollars, which because of inflation, those dollars get cheaper to repay. This is incredible. And literally, it allows us to get paid to borrow money. It's this hidden wealth creator. I'm happy to go into it in more detail because there is a lot to it, but that's the idea, okay? And so, you know, these are some of many things that the doomers just don't get. They don't want to pay attention to, you know, whether it be Nobel laureate Robert Shiller behind the Case-Shiller Index. He, I believe, intentionally doesn't speak about this stuff because either, I mean, he can't be that stupid. Right? He must understand it. Okay. But like I read one of his Irrational Exuberance books many years ago, like 20 years ago, and he just completely missed all of these multidimensional characteristics. Jim Cramer is another one. I've heard him on his show talking about how the S&P 500 index outperforms real estate. Well, and here's what he says. He says, well, real estate traditionally appreciates. And when I talk about real estate, by the way, I'm talking about housing. I'm not talking about office buildings that are very much in trouble, or even apartment buildings that are also very much in trouble at the moment, but those will do okay long-term. Office buildings, not so much. But when you're talking about housing, you know, like Jim Cramer said, well, it'll appreciate historically like 6% every year, but the S&P will do 8 or 9%. But the S&P is like one or maybe two dimensional. Income property's got like six dimensions to it, at least. Okay. There are more. And so they just ignore the beautiful multidimensional nature of this investment.
I love that, man. There's so many different avenues we could play off of there. One of the ones that I definitely want to discuss is the inventory options here, where I've heard you talk a lot about how all the doom and gloomers talking about how there's going to be a bubble and things are going to burst. We're still at a really low time as far as historical inventory versus demand. My follow-up question would be, though, you know, you drive around these areas now and you see every time I land in a new city for miles from the airport, there's just so many of these new subdivisions with this multifamily housing going up everywhere. How do you think that's going to play into the effects of now townhomes or single-family detached homes where, yeah, there's a lot more inventory there, but I don't see a lot of inventory for really like single family homes being built as much as more density type plays. So are you seeing that that's going to hurt maybe, you know, how does that affect rent? There's so many other rabbit holes to go from there, but yeah, right. How does that come into play? All this new construction for this multifamily?
Yeah, no, Nick, you make a very good point because the apartment market, you know, for apartment complexes, multifamily, that is very overbuilt. And it's the bloodbath is sort of just starting, actually, because this year, a record number of apartment units will be delivered, the most ever in our history, okay? Ooh. So it's a tough time for multifamily. But overall, there is a housing shortage in the United States, and they have stopped building new multifamily units, right? There's many in the pipeline that are still going to come to market that are under construction, but nobody's like starting construction on them in any real way now, okay? So in about 3 years, that'll sort itself out pretty well. So I wouldn't worry about it too much long-term, but short-term, it's going to be ugly, okay? So how does that affect our market, which is single family homes? We like single family homes, you know, maybe some duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes in there, but mostly single family homes. Well, it isn't directly impacting single family homes, but it does nibble around the edges because, you know, a lot of renters out there might say, hey, well, you know, we'd rather have a single family home, but, you know, we can't afford anything that's $400 more, so we're going to take an apartment instead, right? And certainly that will happen. But it's not a giant impact on the single family market. It is a little bit of an impact, but, you know, it's maybe impacts the single family market by like 10%. I mean, it's very hard to estimate. I really don't know. But, you know, just anecdotally, that would be my feeling since I'm so engaged in the single family market every day and, you know, owning my own properties, but also we have thousands and thousands of clients. And, you know, I'm talking to them all the time and hearing what they say. And, you know, this is my experience.
Well, I think it's also a really good point to the thing that I keep hearing people besides you not bring up as much anymore is that there's still a major lack of affordable housing, no matter what. And all the new stuff that's getting built that I'm seeing, it's all A-class stuff. You know, and I'm literally going on the websites to try and comp out, like, we just sold the development deal, like, right across the street. And there's this brand new development. And I go on the website, and it's just all these people bashing the builder, being like, who the hell can afford to pay $4,200? Like, so they're not really competing with the average blue-collar person that would be renting one of my houses for some of these luxury things. So yeah. It is interesting to watch. Like it's almost a completely different buyer's pool.
Yeah, no, that's another really good point. Builders cannot afford to build entry-level houses. They simply don't make any economic sense. So the day of the $200,000 house is just gone forever. Okay. It's never coming back. Not for any real house because the building codes are so strict and burdensome nowadays, you know, you're not allowed to build a cheap house anymore, okay? The government won't let you. So everything that's built has to be up to new standards, you know, that insulate you from the potential of natural disasters, right? You know, like I live in Florida, for example, we have hurricanes, as everybody knows. My house is built like a tank. I mean, I've got impact windows. I swear they're probably almost bulletproof. I mean, this house, it's just so expensive, the construction of this house, and I'm from California where houses were, you know, put up with paper mache. Okay. So it's just a very different thing. And it's very expensive to build new houses nowadays. And so the builders are all building, you know, $700,000 houses or more, right? They're not building entry-level houses. And when you're an investor, the market you play in is largely the entry-level housing market. So there, any shortages we talk about today are much more acute in the entry-level market. So I'm going to talk about inventory overall, but let me just kind of go over a few things that I think will be interesting. Yeah. Sharing my screen here. If you're listening on audio only, you know, we'll tell you what we're talking about. So just a few things. Number one, interest rates are at a multi-decade high, no secret to anybody. We've had the fastest increase in interest rates in history. And it is amazing how resilient real estate has been because everybody would have thought there would be massive inventory coming on the market and the complete opposite happened basically, right? Like the market is tight as a drum. There's very little inventory and the prices have been appreciating, not depreciating. Right. And everybody thought, you know, with the lowest affordability in 40 years, where houses are just so expensive in terms of a monthly payment now, how is it that the market is not crashing? Right. And this is where all the doom and gloomers got it wrong. Young people can't afford a home. Right. We hear this all the time. Well, what they got wrong fundamentally is this: they viewed it from the wrong context. What the doomers are talking about is all of the stuff I just mentioned. Low housing affordability, the worst in 40 years. And they're not wrong about that. But here's what they're wrong about. What they're wrong about is that it's not about new people entering the housing market. It's about the existing people that already own the houses. Okay. So since we have these massive interest rate hikes, sales at volume or sales activity of houses has gone way down. You talk to any realtor, mortgage person, they're starving, they're complaining. It's business is terrible. Okay. And business has slowed down for my company as well. Okay. Volume is down, but volume is not the same thing as prices. Those are different things. Okay. And the reason we have, so, well, let's just look at the volume number for a second. Okay. Since the interest rate hikes, we've only had about 5 million homes transact. Okay. And that's over about a little over a year and a half. We have about 140 million homes in the United States. So 135 million homes are the people that either bought a house or refinanced their house during the COVID era with the lowest interest rates in, like you said in the intro, 5,000 years. And I'm not kidding, by the way. economists have data of the cost of money, which the interest rate is nothing more than the cost of money, going back 5 millennia to ancient Egypt. I'm not kidding, okay? You know, read a great book by the late David Graeber. It's called Debt, the First 5,000 Years. And it's a really interesting book. Highly recommend it. But if you're looking at this chart, since the rates went up, only about 5 million transactions have occurred. So most people thought that was what it was all about. But what they didn't think is that what it really was all about is the 135 million people that have mortgages at or below 3%, 4%, or even 5%. They're very comfortable, okay? So 65% of the country has a mortgage at or below 4%. 25% of the country has a mortgage at or below 3%, right? And 42% of the country has no mortgage at all. They own their house free and clear. Now, the one ingredient that you absolutely positively must have to have a real estate market crash, you can't have a crash without this ingredient. And that is millions of distressed homeowners who become millions of distressed home sellers. Right now, you have the complete opposite of that. What you have now is you have tens of millions of homeowners who are extremely comfortable. And that's why they're not selling and they're not in distress. Foreclosures and delinquency rates are at some of the lowest points in history. Okay. What matters is this part of the chart. These 135 million properties, no problem, super comfortable people, no distress. And they're very unlikely to have any distress in any real kind of quantity. And until they do, you're not having a market crash. That's it. You can have a frozen market where volume is down, but prices keep going up. And that's exactly what we've had since the interest rate hikes. Surprise to many people, but not to me. It has not been a surprise to me.
That's incredible, man. I really appreciate you sharing that. So that brings a couple of questions that from that topic is one of them. If people are now saying, well, you know what, I'm not going to retire from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut and move out to Arizona because I'm not going to buy twice the house for three times the rate. So maybe they don't go buy their dream home. Are you seeing an uptick in maybe they're saying, well, I'm just going to make my current home my dream home. I'll pop the top. I'll build a man cave. I'll get the pool. Like, is residential remodeling now starting to tick up since new construction is starting to tick down?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. And during the pandemic, I predicted exactly that. I said that people are going to focus on the house they have because they have such a good deal. So they're going to remodel the kitchen and bathroom. They're going to get interested in home improvement projects. Home Depot and Lowe's stock is going to do really well And it did. I was right. Although I did not buy it, I should have. So, you know, a lot of times I don't listen to my own advice. I hate to admit it. Okay. Sometimes I'm my own worst client. Okay. The home remodeling business is going to be a good business going forward. Because think about it, all these people with these cheap mortgages, they have 27 to 28 years left on them. Okay. They're going to add a room. Okay, they're going to add a master bedroom upstairs or a family room off the back, right? They're more likely to do that than they are to sell and get a new house because their deal is just too good. The mortgage, most people consider the mortgage liability, but it's an asset. And that's counterintuitive to many people. But that a cheap mortgage is a huge asset. Here's another way to think of that. You know, Nick, I'm sure that you and many people listening right now own something that if they put it on eBay and sold it, they would not get as much as they think it's worth. Okay. So I'll take like one example. Say you have a sentimental piece of jewelry or, you know, from like handed down from your grandparents or, you know, or a wedding ring, right? As long as your marriage is going well, you know, and I mean, look, that thing is worth more to you than someone will pay for it on the open market. If you stuck it on eBay, it would not sell for as much as you think it's worth. And this is exactly what's happening with people's homes. So their home on the open market might be worth $450,000. But because they have a super cheap mortgage on it, it's worth $550,000 to them. Because that's the cost of replacement. So if they wanted to get an equivalent house, they'd essentially, in the mix of the price of the house and the higher interest rate payment on the mortgage of the house, they'd have to pay $100,000 more. Why would they do that? They're not selling. It's worth more to them than it is on the market. And that's the unusual situation we have.
If you have been kicking yourself that you didn't start investing in real estate sooner, whether you're beginner, intermediate, or advanced, any way you're looking to get in on a residential, commercial, land development, wholesaling, fix and flips, whatever it is, let's find a way to get you involved in some projects, get you some properties, whether you want to sell some properties to me, whether you want to buy some properties from me, whether residential, fix and flip, cash flow, multifamily, whatever it is you're looking for, let's figure out a way to get you involved or find a way for us to partner up on some deals. Go to www.nicknicknick.com. Go on the consultation tab and figure out how to schedule an appointment to talk about where you fit in if you are not sure. Or you can just reach out to me on any of my social media channels. If you go on www.nicknicknick.com/links, you will see all the different ways to connect with me and figure out how we can start to work together, make it happen. Everybody that invests in real estate always just says they wish they did it sooner. Best time to start is today.
So that begs the question then, if we're not going to have these people that are going to be exchanging their houses anymore because they're in a comfortable place where their payments are historically lower because they capitalize on these low interest rates in a time of fear during the pandemic, for us as the real estate investor now, where do you see the best opportunities coming for 2024, 2025? Where should we be focusing to make the money?
You should buy entry-level single-family homes. And we've identified a whole bunch of good markets. You know, anybody can find those at jasonhartman.com. Just click on the properties page and you'll see properties in markets that make sense. I'd say one of our hottest markets right now is Alabama. We are doing a lot of business in Alabama, Tennessee, Indiana. You know, these are all markets where you get a lot of house for your money. And Florida too, but Florida's gotten a little bit expensive, so it's not quite as desirable as like Alabama now. You know, you get a lot for your money and you can get properties that make sense the day you buy them. And those entry-level houses are the houses that everybody wants to rent, right? They're, you know, you no matter which way the economy goes, you're going to have demand for those houses. Because if the economy gets really bad, you're going to catch people moving down. If the economy's good, you know, it's going to be their first house that they rent, and then they're going to move up a few years later and maybe buy a house or rent a bigger house. So that market is always the place to be, the entry-level housing market. And If we look at the inventory now in the United States, we only have about 500,000 homes for sale. Now, think about that. Remember what I mentioned earlier. The overall housing stock is 140 million units. So like 1/3 of 1% is for sale. That's nothing. It's just nothing. A normal inventory level, not for a bad market, just for a normal market, is 1.2 million homes. We only have 500,000. So you've got a whole generation of people, not the whole generation, but a large part of it, living at home with their parents, and eventually they're going to go form their own households, and they're going to pop onto the market, and that market represents about 12 million people. What happens over the next several years when 12 million new buyers or renters come into a housing market where there's only 500,000 homes for sale? It's just simple supply and demand. There's nothing more to it than that. Everybody can go into all this complicated stuff they want. And believe me, I go down those rabbit holes all the time. But this is really very simple, okay? And, look, I'm not saying there won't be fluctuations in the market along the way. Of course there will. I'm just looking at the big macro trend for the buy and hold investor. Okay. Don't listen to me if you want to make money in the next year or, something like that, right? We deal with investors who buy and hold these properties for the long run. Warren Buffett, many consider the world's greatest investor. He says, my favorite holding period is forever. Okay. And, that's what you should do. You should be a buy and hold investor because then your profits don't get eaten up by transaction fees. This isn't your lunch money you're investing with. This is money you keep in the market. Okay.
That's incredible, man. I know we're getting tight on time. I got to be careful with what other questions I kind of go off on, but you brought up something that I didn't hear you talk about on many podcasts because I've been listening to all your stuff for a long time, but you did talk about how one of the ways that they could potentially correct the market would be maybe to reduce the interest rates. And now maybe there's not as much value in the lower interest rates. But the other thing you mentioned was that they could get rid of the due on sale clause and then that might increase the exchange rate. And that was something I haven't heard anybody talk about. I thought it was a fascinating take.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's a totally original idea. So ever since, I believe it was 1978, don't quote me on that, it might be 1980 or something, but the Supreme Court upheld what's called the due on sale clause. And what that means is that in pretty much every existing mortgage out there, when the property is sold, the lender can legally require that the loan be paid off. So the new buyer has to get a new loan. And they have to get a new loan at the higher interest rate. And so, or at the prevailing rate at the time, which will likely be higher than all these super cheap rates that are out there now, right? And so this will keep the inventory, the market for inventory very restricted for 27 to 28 years, quite literally. We've never had this type of situation before. Throughout my career, there's always been a market that the delta between selling your house and getting a new loan was never this big. So it was never such an incredibly big step to make. But the step between a 2.5% mortgage and a 7% mortgage is a giant step. And most people just won't take the step. I don't blame them. They have too good a deal. So, we're likely to have very scarce inventory for a very long time to come. And then, the next thing people say is, well, they'll just build more houses. Okay, let them. That's the solution. But the problem is any houses they do build are going to be more expensive houses because there's no economic sense in building a cheap house anymore. Okay, you can't build a cheap house. The government will not let you build it. Okay, because you got all these new specifications and requirements, and it's just much more expensive to build a house nowadays. And all of the ingredients to the house, the copper wire, the lumber, the concrete, the glass, the steel, the petroleum products, the energy, and the labor to build that house are just skyrocketing in price. Okay. And the average construction worker now is about 50 years old. Think about that for a minute. They're you don't see any like Gen Zers or millennials that want to get into construction. Okay. In the old days, you used to go to any construction site and there were a bunch of 20 something guys swinging hammers.
Yeah, now these guys, I was one of them.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There you go. And now these guys are 50 years old, you know, give or take. And I mean, they can't do that much longer. There's nobody to replace them. So there's just like home builders have giant labor problems. I mean, and what that's going to do is just push wages up, and that's going to push the price of the house up. So it's a problem that will not likely be solved anytime soon.
And I find it fascinating because people are, well, the prices can't keep going up like that. It's like, well, yeah, they can. And the only thing that's not keeping up are wages. And I've been telling people lately, I don't recall ever in my investing career seeing banks want to own real estate. And now all these articles I'm seeing that they're not talking about in the background is you have these huge primary banks that are pledging billions of dollars to build to rent partnerships with these builders. You don't think that they're going to do something to manipulate the market to make sure that rentals become like the solid thing? And I was like, you can make the choice now. Are you going to invest in assets and be somebody that's going to be owning the houses right next to the bank and have them over for a barbecue?
Oh, yeah.
Because if you don't do that, you're going to be now trapped in where there's going to be a time in the near future where generations are no longer going to be able to own the homes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's a funny thing, Nick. People have this funny idea that housing has to be as affordable as it was in the past. That's just completely wrong. There is no rule that says that. So for example, they'll say things like, well, you know, now, you know, to buy a house costs X amount of annual income for people, right? And okay, so what? And you know, 2 years ago, it cost less multiples of my annual income to buy a house. Okay, so what? You know what it cost in the UK? Way more than in the US. And, you know, around the world, when you look at U.S. real estate, it's actually not that expensive at all. And a lot of people don't know that, you know, just go around the world and look. Our real estate in the U.S. is actually pretty cheap comparatively. So there's no rule that says prices have to come down to where they were, you know, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. They're just not going to. There's nothing that forces that to happen. But, you know, a lot of people say that and they're just clueless. There's no evidence to support it. You know, it's like, that's like saying, well, things have to be the way they were 50 years ago because I want them to be that way. Okay. But they're just not going to be that way. And the world's not going to give that to you. So housing can become, you know, dramatically more expensive. Okay. It doesn't have to get cheaper. It doesn't have to stay the same as it is now. You know, it's just supply and demand. That's it.
No time like the present to start investing, like they always say, right? Best time to start is today.
Hey, you know what they say, right? What's that saying? You know, what's the best time to plant a tree 20 years ago? What's the second best time? Today.
I love that, man.
Yeah.
Well, dude, you are a refreshing take of unbiased opinions, focusing just on the data. It's a tough topic that you deliver in a very unconventional and I think entertaining way. So I very much appreciate the way that you make things simple for guys like me who get punched in the head every so often, so we don't understand all the facts. But for somebody who's looking to now maybe look a little bit deeper into this, connect with you a little bit deeper, maybe even jump on the Ultimate Investor's Voyage, how do they connect more with Jason Hartman?
Yeah, thanks. So my main website is jasonhartman.com, and you can follow my podcast anywhere you get your podcast. Just type in Jason Hartman. Or on YouTube, I'm on there as well, Jason Hartman, Empowered Investor. And our cruise coming up, and I hope you're going to join us, Nick, is you can go to jasonhartman.com for that, or Empowered Investor Live is a special site just for it. So that's coming up, and it's on the beautiful brand new Celebrity Apex. It's a real estate investor cruise. So we're really an investor cruise. Does not just about real estate, but investing in general. So we'd love to see you all there.
That's really cool, man. And then on top of that, if people are interested in maybe getting into some investments in some of these markets that you've already done this research on, they can connect with you the same way?
Yeah, absolutely. Just, you know, go to jasonhartman.com, fill out any form there, and one of our investment counselors will get in touch with you.
That's really cool, man. And then on top of that, if people are interested in maybe getting into some investments in some of these markets that you've already done this research on, they can connect with you the same way?
Yeah, absolutely. Just, you know, go to jasonhartman.com, fill out any form there, and one of our investment counselors will get in touch with you.
That's awesome, man. Well, I've been a big fan of you and your dog for a very long time now. I appreciate Matt Andrews for linking us up. As he said, you were one of my bucket list guests for a long time. I find you fascinating, man. I think the information that you're giving out there is probably the best out there right now, period. So I appreciate you coming on and sharing some time with us today. You definitely bring your A game to everything you do in life. This interview has been no different. You definitely brought your A game to this podcast today. Any final thoughts before I let you go?
No, just the old saying, don't wait to invest in real estate. Invest in real estate and wait. It is the most historically proven asset class in the entire world. It's definitely not perfect. Nothing is perfect. There are problems and challenges that every investor has, and you know, we'll help you overcome those. That's what we do. But it's the best thing going. So thanks for having me, and happy investing to everybody.
Thank you so much. The empowered investor himself, Jason Hartman, ladies and gentlemen, have a fantastic day.